This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Well, this is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler here on the Albert Mohler Program, and I have three special guests sitting in here with me today. I have my sons Ben and Timothy and Samuel Moore, three of the four who are here in the studio with me today. And one of the reasons why I wanted them to be here with me today is because we're going to be talking about something that's really important at our house, which is stories, storytelling. And I'd like to hear from you. What are some good resources for storytelling for children? When you think about all of the children's storybooks that are out there right now, what are some stories that have been good for you and your family in making a link between those stories and the story of the gospel? How do you do it in your house? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Are there certain children's books that you have found to be really good in communicating a biblical storyline and a Christian worldview? And I don't necessarily mean Christian books, but books and stories that have been good in communicating those things. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. And I'm interested to know from you how story time and family devotion time works in your household. One of the things that I've tried to be very careful to do is not to make family devotion time a drudgery in our house. I went one time to visit with some friends when I was a kid, and they had a family devotion time that was very somber. It was very grave. Everyone sat down, everyone was silent, and there was this huge family Bible. I mean huge. And it made a thud as it landed there on the table, and the dad would open up this huge family Bible, and they would have this long time of listening to these moral lessons that were coming out of the scripture, and then they would sing these hymns. And I remember thinking, it shouldn't be this somber. And so one of the things that we've tried to do in our household is to make our time together as we read the scripture also a time where it's very light in a lot of ways. It's a very fun time together, and it also includes the reading of stories and the reading of children's books. Right now, we're going through in our household the Chronicles of Narnia. We finished up The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and we are now moving on to A Horse and His Boy, and we're in the middle of reading through that. And one of the things I've found is that reading through the Chronicles of Narnia has created all kinds of opportunities to talk about very important issues that I think will be showing up later on. Like, for instance, Turkish Delight. Edmund, you'll remember in the story of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, is captured by the White Witch, by the Queen of Narnia, and she gives him Turkish Delight. And his appetite for that Turkish delight is so strong that she has power over him, even though she's treating him like a slave and she's treating him as a monster, but he can't leave because of the Turkish delight. Well, that is such a deep biblical picture of the rule of the appetites that comes through the eating of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the eating of that fruit, and continues on through, for instance, the picture of Esau that we have, who's willing to throw over his inheritance for a mess of pottage. It's creating opportunities to talk about those things. There are a lot of really good stories out there for children, and there are a lot of really bad stories out there for children. What do you think? What are some of the good resources that you've found out there in the world for telling stories to children that try to create a moral imagination? 877-893-8255. And what are some things that you think Christian parents ought to beware of when it comes to telling stories or reading books to children? 877-893-8255. I'd love to hear from you about that. In a few minutes, I'm going to have one of my favorite artists Andrew Peterson on the line. He is not only an accomplished and popular Christian singer, he also is the author of a series of children's books, of children's stories. It's called the Wingfeather Saga, and one of them is called On the Edge of the Dark Sea of Darkness, but he has a new one coming out here just in a couple of weeks called North or Be Eaten. That should be an interesting title. And he's going to be talking to me about why he thinks stories are important for children. And I want to know from you. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What are some good resources for Christian parents when it comes to stories for kids? And what are some bad ones that you've seen? 877-893-TALK. But before we get to that, in the news today, of course, consuming the news yet again has been the arrest of Professor Henry Louis Gates after the famous beer summit yesterday at the White House, in which President Obama had Professor Gates and the officer who arrested him. They sat around with Vice President Biden and talked about it, although nobody apologized at all. Sergeant James Crowley says this about his meeting with President Obama and Professor Gates.
Well, I think what you had today was two gentlemen agree to disagree on a particular issue. I don't think that we spent too much time dwelling on the past. We spent a lot of time discussing the future.
And what that means is there was no getting together and having apologies and working things out. It was more where do we go from here? How do we carry on this conversation from here? You know, President Obama says that this has been a teachable moment for the country to talk about those issues of racial justice and the criminal justice system. Well, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani was on Sean Hannity's Fox News program, and he responded to President Obama's claim that this is a teachable moment, and this is what he had to say.
He's actually right. It is teachable. Here's the lesson. Yeah. Shut up.
Rudy Giuliani thinks that President Obama is stepping into the middle of something that really shouldn't be presidential level. I disagree. I think that the president has handled this poorly. I do think that the beer summit was a silly public relations stunt. But this is a teachable moment. This is a time to think through. I don't think the way we thought through it. I think it's been very heated. But I think it is a time to think through what are the ways that racial profiling, how does racial profiling show up in America, not in the obvious ways, but in the ways that we don't think about, in the ways that we don't recognize, those little things. I think there are some teachable moments. I think they've just been lost in all of the furor of everything that has taken place. United States House of Representatives has voted to provide an emergency $2 billion for the Cash for Clunkers program. This is a program that provides cash for people to trade in their old, fuel-inefficient, and emissions-polluting vehicles for newer, more environmentally friendly vehicles. And the money had all run out, and so there's an emergency expenditure to try to save the Cash for Clunkers program. I could have used that Cash for Clunkers program several years ago back in college when I had a vehicle that I am very sure was an environment. It may be in and of itself responsible for climate change in the world today. It was such a wreck of a car. But if you've got one now, you've got some cash, thanks to the United States House of Representatives. You know, as I'm sitting here looking at my boys, and I see them looking at the television screen, at least some of them, because there are television screens here in the studio, and they're kind of transfixed by it, as I think a lot of kids are, as almost any kid would be when he sees those moving images, sees the screen, is just kind of hypnotized by the image of the screen. And that's one of the things that I'm very concerned about when it comes to our kids. I don't mean just my kids in particular, but to this generation of children and the previous generation of children, so transfixed by images that they're not able to understand stories. And stories are so critically important, not just for children. They're important for everyone who is going to grow up to follow after a Christ who calls us into a biblical story. You've got a story being repeated. It's important, I think, to tell stories to children and to tell the right kinds of stories to children. I'm wondering, what do you think are some good resources for Christian parents in having story time? Good books, good collections of stories that could be used to have a time of storytelling with kids? And what are some bad resources? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Would love to know from you how you think we ought to be telling stories and the story to our kids. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler here on the Albert Mohler Program. We'll be right back with Andrew Peterson.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
I believe He is the Christ, Son of the living God.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and that is Andrew Peterson singing the song, The Good Confession. You know, I don't ever hear that song, I don't ever tear up, because I think I identify so much with the lyrics of the song about this young child coming to faith in Christ and then following after Christ and reflecting on that. There's a lot in that song and in all of the songs that Andrew Peterson does. I really commend his music to you. Go on iTunes if you've never heard an Andrew Peterson song or an album. Go on iTunes and get it. And I promise you, you will be moved, but not just moved emotionally. You'll be moved to think and to consider and to feel. And I think that's what's really, really significant about this music. There's a lot to it, and there's a lot that will last with you for a long time as you consider it and chew on it. Andrew Peterson, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. You know, I'm sitting here looking at your book, On the Edge of the Dark Sea of Darkness, this children's book, and I know your new one in the series is coming out here in just a few weeks, North or Be Eaten. How did you come to write books for kids?
I think the real question is, how did I come to write books for kids with such ridiculous titles?
Hey, I'm all about ridiculous titles. That's fine.
I have three kids of my own, and my boys are 10 and 9 years old, and my little girl is 6. And you know, I think I wanted to write books before I ever picked up a guitar the first time in you know, middle school or whenever it was, that I was one of those kids that just gobbled up every book he could get his hands on and loved being carried away and made several false starts in my, you know, in my notebooks in school. And but then, you know, I ended up picking up a guitar and finding my way with that. And but in the back of my mind for years and years, I've thought, I wonder when the time is going to come for me to sit down and turn the stories that I sing about into stories that I write about. Mm. And so it I think the thing that ignited it all was experiencing reading the Narnia books to my kids for the first time. And, you know, these are books that I was familiar with, I grew up with. But then going on that journey as a family with my kids and seeing the way those stories carried truth into my kids' hearts, it kind of reminded me just how important it is to tell these kinds of stories. And so I had a talk with my wife and asked her if she minded if I spent, you know, if I moonlighted and started really working on writing a story for kids, and it became On the Edge of the Dark Sea of Darkness.
Now, did these start as stories you were telling to your own kids?
Sort of. I would write the chapters and then read the chapters to my kids as I wrote them. And so I jokingly call my boys the editors because they're the first ones to get to hear these stories, and they're also the ones who tell me which parts are boring.
Mm. You know, Andrew, I was thinking the other day, as I'm reading the Narnia Chronicles to my boys right now, and one of the things I found really interesting, I read an article by a secularist who's writing about Narnia and explaining why Narnia works with kids, and he said one of the things that he sees there is the fact that Lewis seems to love the children that he's writing to. There's a sense of kindness that is coming through the text. And it really struck me, yeah, you know, that's right. You think about the way that he does all of these little parenthetical asides to the kids as he's speaking mm-hmm. to them. He's not speaking down to them, but he's speaking to them with this voice of, you know, and you know, you shouldn't really get into a wardrobe and that kind of thing. There's that sense of
right.
a voice of kindness that's there that I think we could learn a lot from as preachers and teachers of the Word of God.
I think so too. I think part of the heart of that is that he remembers what it was like to be a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
That what a profound thing it's been for me to watch my own kids. You know, when I walk through the woods with my kids, it's not just a walk through the woods. It turns into a walk in the forbidden forest. You know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Being around kids and remembering what it's like to look at the world in this way is a really healthy thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the many layers, I think, and behind, you know, when Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is made up of such as these. There's a lot you can get out of that. But one of those things is I just think kids remember that the world is a dangerous, harrowing, magical, beautiful, wonderful place. And we lose some of that as adults. And I think that Lewis remembered that, man. He was able to see eye to eye with these kids. And when a kid reads those books, they kind of feel like, oh, this guy knows what it's like. He remembers
yeah.
what it's like to be scared
yeah.
when my parents turn off the light and it's time for bed, you know?
Yeah, and don't you think that a lot of the contemporary attempts to tell stories to kids that try to be nonviolent really aren't addressing what kids are really thinking? I mean, kids really identify with Hansel and Gretel and
uh-huh.
with a scary Chronicles of Narnia, not as much with Barney and Elmo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. And, you know, the thing is, same is true of adults. And I think that's, one. You know, as a songwriter, one of the things that I struggle with sometimes when I listen to popular Christian music, and I try not to bash it because I think that it does a lot of good too.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I hear when I turn on a lot of Christian radio stations is a picture of the world that has no teeth.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I don't recognize that, you know, because or you know, songs that don't deal with the darkness that we know is in us and around us. And so there's a kind of communion that I think happens between an author and a reader or a songwriter and its audience when you can kind of really dig down to the deep level and go, look, I remember what it's like to hurt
mm-hmm.
and to be afraid. And so does Jesus, for that matter. And so I think that's important, really important when it comes to kids' stories.
Don't you think, Andrew, that one of the real problems that we have with children and with adults is that we've lost story, we've lost narrative, and so where we're left with are either a series of propositions, and a lot of kids' biblical material is like this. Here are these truths about God. God is great, God is good. Or you've got these moral principles that are given, but they're disjointed from the story. I see that in a lot of the material that comes through for kids, but that really reflects what we see going on in churches and in preaching and in so much of the material for adults.
I think so too. I remember I was in a Sunday school. I play music, kids music for children's church sometimes at my church, and I stuck around for a Sunday school lesson, and we have a great teacher. But I remember thinking she was telling the story about the Israelites crossing the River Jordan,
mm-hmm.
And how, you know, God dried the river up so they could cross. And I remember she was talking about, like, what are some rivers in your own life
mm-hmm.
that you have to cross? And I kind of remember being like, oh, don't mess the story up with application right now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a great story. Let's just tell the story and let the story be the story. And those stories are going to sink into these kids' hearts. And you know, when their hearts are ready, they're going to recognize these things.
Stone tables and Turkish delight. That's exactly right. We'll be right back with Andrew Peterson to talk about storytelling to children, forming a moral imagination through stories. I want to hear from you. What do you think are some good ways for Christian parents to tell stories to their children? How do you do it in your house with your kids or grandkids or neighbor kids? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I'll be back in just a minute with Andrew Peterson here on the Albert Mohler Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Well, we have a first here on the radio program, a guest who was tied up in the headphone cord, off dangling off of his chair. It was my son Samuel, who's 4 years old. We have gotten him out of the cord. He's back up on his chair, and we're doing fine. We're ready to move right on here. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler here on the Albert Mohler program. And we have on the line Andrew Peterson, Christian artist, musician, who is also an author of a series of children's books, The Wingfeather Saga, and the new one, North or Be Eaten, will be out here in just a few weeks. And I'm really enjoying this opportunity to talk to Andrew Peterson because I love his work. I love his website, I love his music, and I love his books, and I'm really glad to be talking to him today. Andrew, tell us a little bit about how you intentionally try to nurture your own children's imagination.
Wow, that's a good question. I think that my wife has a lot to do with this. We, my wife's ministry to me, one of her many ministries to me, is that she, because of the fact that I travel a lot on the weekends and I tend to be gone sometimes for spells that are for me too long, she makes this house the most magical place in the world. Hmm. And it's this place, you know, that isn't to say she decorates it like with what weird spacey stuff. It just means that she makes it very comfortable. We don't have a fireplace, but if we did, you know, there would be a fire burning in the hearth every time I came home, you know. And I think that that's what she does for our kids too. She makes this place a very a safe and wonderful place to be, so that when they leave, their hearts are ready for it, you know. And part of it too is that we made a conscious decision a few years ago to move out of a, you know, cookie cutter neighborhood and into the country. Mm-hmm. And so it was important to us that our kids grow up with a little bit of woods they could get lost in, and they could come in with poison ivy and tick bites and the whole thing. So there's that part of it, and then the other part of it is that we take reading pretty seriously in our house. Like we every night before the kids go to bed, we read a Bible story, and then we read the next chapter in whatever it is, whatever book we're working our way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what we do, and do it in a way that's fun and light, not a heavy time that's dreaded by the kids.
Right. Yeah, I remember. You know, I remember one of my Bible college professors talking about this, about like family devotions, and how it was very freeing when I heard him say, "You know what? Our family doesn't do devotions."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Jesus lives in our household. It's very clear to our kids that He is a part of our lives, and so we don't go out of our way to have a very stuffy, serious. Now it's time for devotions.
Yeah,
you know,
that's exactly right.
Bow your head and close your eyes. We do pray with the kids, but you know, we just Jesus is around.
Yeah,
and so He's as much a part of reading the next adventure story we're reading as He is a part of the Bible story we're reading.
Or just sitting around the table and walking down the road. Exactly.
Yeah.
Andrew, when you think about what a lot of kids are facing right now, it's television. And a lot of parents are really trying to think about what television might do to their kids and the way that their kids think. How do you advise parents to think through TV?
Just turn it off. And you know, I have a couple TV shows that I watch, you know, my wife and I, we enjoy some television. And another thing too is television is, you know, the reason, and this is, doesn't apply to reality TV, but it applies to shows like Lost or whatever that people get caught up in is we're, God wired us to hunger for stories.
Yeah.
We recognize our own story and other people's stories, you know, and so it can be good. Television can be a harmless thing, but I just, you know, we have rules, you know, in our house. We try not to turn the TV on if it's a sunny day outside.
Yeah.
And we just make the kids go out, and it's just kind of part of the way we live. And the same thing's true of video games. We if it's raining outside, then sure, we'll let them play for an hour, but it definitely doesn't rule our day.
Thank you very much, Andrew Peterson. He is the author of the Wing Feather Saga series. The new one, North or Be Eaten, will be out very, very shortly. You can pre-order it right now on Amazon or wherever you buy books. Thank you very much, Andrew Peterson, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we'll be right back to talk about how you can build a moral imagination in the lives of your children through storytelling. But I want to hear from you. How do stories fit? Or devotion time? What does family devotion time look like in your house? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
I am a family man, traded in my Mustang for a minivan. This is not what I was headed for when I began. This was not my plan. I am a family man.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about storytelling and building the moral imagination of kids. And I have a real concern that a lot of the children, including in Christian homes, don't know how to resonate with story. They have a list of doctrines, or they have a list of morals, or maybe they have a list of doctrines and a list of morals. What they don't have is a narrative imagination. They're not able to have an imagination that is being formed that is Christian. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they are set down in front of televisions or video games or inane, storyless Christian stuff. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How can we turn storytelling into a time for the discipleship and discipline of our children? 877-893-8255. We have Andrea on the line. Andrea, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad that you took my call.
Glad to. What's your thought on this topic today?
Mine is actually, I am a nanny. I'll make this quick. I'm looking at my clock. Hopefully I'll make it in 15 seconds. I am a nanny for three boys, and I told the story of Gideon and about how they sound their trumpets, smash their jars, and all the bad guys turn their swords on one another.
Yeah.
And God caused confusion. One of the things is children, teachers tend to change the stories around to make it more child-friendly. And that's one thing I think is very important we do not do.
Andrea, how do you see
the children?
Andrea, how do you see teachers changing it to make it more kid-friendly? What do you mean specifically?
For instance, I took one of the boys to a vacation Bible school program. They told the Gideon story after it. I already taught them.
Yeah.
And instead of saying they turned the swords on one another, they said they smashed their jars and sound their trumpets, and the bad guys ran away. That was it. And the man, and the six-year-old boy, one of the boys I watch, he says, "Why did they say this? Why didn't they say? Did you?" And he called me a liar. I call him the middle child. You know, he has that certainty about him. But you know, we laugh, and I try to explain to him, but I don't know how. I say, "Well, this is the truth," and I had to point it through it and read it to him and read the truth to him. So that's one of the things. We cannot, it's not our right to change the story of God, so, or the book of God. So anyway, that's the most important thing to me, is to keep truth as truth. And yeah, God will make it make sense to the kids.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point, Andrea. I appreciate your making that. That there is, I think, an embarrassment on the part of some parents about the content of Scripture, or some teachers. I mean, you think about the way that the biblical stories are transformed into these nice little narratives for kids. You pick up almost any children's storybook, they'll do that, not just with biblical stories, but with any story. I mean, you think about the Hansel and Gretel narrative that I mentioned a few minutes ago. I was I was walking with my kids just a few days ago through Rock City in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we were walking through this exhibit that they have there of these glow-in-the-dark figurines from all of these nursery rhymes and fairy tales of old. And you realize how violent so many of these were. And of course, there have been from Bettelheim on to all kinds of other experts in children's literature who have looked at this and have said the reason why these stories took root, it's kind of like what Andrew Peterson said a few minutes ago about his kids being his editor, that he would read the stories and whenever his kids would get bored, he knew that he needed to rewrite that part. Well, the reason why so many of the stories that we have, Jack the Giant Killer, Hansel and Gretel, all the way down, the Three Bears, Goldilocks, the reason why those stories have stuck is because they resonated with children, because there was a need within those children to hear those stories. And those stories often deal with evil as evil. Don't sugarcoat it. It's not Elmo. It's not Barney singing, I love you, you love me. It's instead a real recognition of evil, but a recognition of a provision for evil. The kids know, they instinctively know that they're living in a universe in which something's gone awry. It's not our job as parents or as Sunday school teachers to disengage that. It's our job to come in and to provide an answer to that. Yeah, you're living in an enchanted world. Yeah, you're living in a haunted world. You're living in a world haunted by demonic powers. That's exactly right. What you deeply fear is indeed the case. It is indeed the reality. Your worrying about the monster under the bed isn't unreasonable. There's a monster under the fabric of the cosmos. Instead, we give them a story that provides the only comfort that really is lasting comfort. It's a comfort that the enemies have been defeated. The storyline continues on. And it provides them with a sense of imagination, able to sense that evil, but also able to sense redemption. There's a really good article, and I'll put it up on my website tonight at russellmoore.com. And it's an article by a friend of mine named David Mills. He writes it called Enchanting Children. It was in Touchstone magazine. And he talks about how a lot of parents don't realize how important it is to fuel that moral imagination through storytelling so that children are able not just to know what things are right and wrong. They're able to know what kinds of things ought to be held with revulsion, with moral revulsion. You've got to be training not just a thinking, you've got to be training a feeling so that when that child finds himself being given the Turkish delight in whatever form it comes, he recognizes it. She feels that. She knows that at a deeper level. A lot of that comes through learning to take that imagination that God has placed within children and cultivate it. What do you think? How should we fuel the imaginations of our children in a biblical way, including at Sunday school? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Yes, it's been quite a summer. Rental cars and westbound trains. And now you're off on vacation. Something you tried to explain. And darling, it's I look so. That's the reason I just let you go. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And come Monday, he will be right back here behind this microphone talking to you about the things that matter. His vacation is over. If you are listening to this, Al, your vacation is over. No more tubing down the lake or whatever it is that you've been doing over the past month. He'll be right back here behind this microphone to talk about the things that are happening all around us right now that we need as Christians not only to be thinking about but also praying about. We ought to be, every time that this radio program comes on, when Dr. Mueller comes back Monday, is here from now on out, we ought to be thinking, as he's raising these issues, speaking about them from a Christian point of view, not simply hearing that kind of information, but this really ought to be a time when we are driven to pray, when we think about persecution of believers around the world, or when we think about those subtle designs of the enemy in our life, or when we recognize and see the glory of the good things that God has given to us, a time of reflecting on those things with gratitude and also with concern. So I'll be glad to welcome Al Mueller back, tanned, rested, and ready to take over this microphone. And I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this month of July and to talk to you about so many interesting things that the Lord has given to us in this world. And really appreciative to be able to work with the folks that I get to work with here. Justin Leachty, the producer of this program, and Robbie Sager is my assistant, who has been guest producer of this guest-hosted program over the last week. My interns, doctoral students who've helped out a lot, and you, to be talking to you not just on the air, but also hearing from you via Twitter and Facebook and other ways with the kinds of questions that you have had. It's been a fun time. But Monday, we're going to put Albert Mueller back in the Albert Mueller program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller here on the Albert Mueller program.
If you would be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Daddy, and Daddy, when you call me, you can call me out. Call me out.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmueller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.